Macmillan Audio presents Manifesto for a Moral Revolution, Practices to Build a Better World. Written and read by Jacqueline Novogratz. Introduction. 1986, Kigali, Rwanda. I am standing in a field on a blue sky day, surrounded by tall yellow sunflowers. I am a 25-year-old former banker, dressed in a flowy skirt, wearing flat, mud-speckled, white shoes, my head filled with dreams of changing the world. Beside me is an apple-cheeked, bespectacled nun in a brown habit, smiling broadly. Her name is Felicula, and I adore her for taking me under her wing. Along with a few other Rwandan women, she and I are planning to build the first microfinance bank in the country. Today, we're visiting a sunflower oil pressing business, the kind of tiny venture our bank might one day support. We plan to call the microfinance organization Duterembere, meaning to go forward with enthusiasm. All I see is upside. 2016, Kigali, Rwanda. I'm standing in an outdoor reception on a starry night, surrounded by men and women in dark suits. I am the 55-year-old CEO of Acumen, a global nonprofit seeking to change the way the world tackles poverty. Rwanda's president, Paul Kagame, and his top ministers are at the reception to meet potential investors in a new $70 million impact fund Acumen is building to bring solar electricity to more than 10 million low-income people in East Africa. I have become all too familiar with the risks of making and then trying to deliver on big promises. Yet I'm confident Acumen and its partners can launch and implement this fund, and thus prove the power of innovation to help solve one of the continent's most intractable problems. Just before I begin to make a formal presentation to the group, a young Rwandan woman wearing a navy suit and low heel pumps approaches me. "Miss Novogratz," she says, "I think you knew my auntie." "Really?" I ask. "What was her name?" I haven't a clue to whom she's referring. Too many of my friends were murdered in the genocide. "Her name was Felicula," she responds brightly. My eyes well with tears. "I'm sorry," I stammer. "Would you remind me who you are again?" "My name is Monique," the young woman answers with soft-spoken confidence, her eyes holding mine. "I am the Deputy Secretary General of Rwanda's Central Bank." Words fail me completely. I am transported back to the days when Felicula and I dreamed together of a world in which women would have greater control over their lives. Of course, we started with a low bar. Until 1986, it was illegal in Rwanda for a woman to open a bank account without her husband's permission. Although Felicula and I and our other co-founders had big dreams to make a difference, had you told us in 1986 that within a generation I would be standing before a young Rwandan woman charged with overseeing her nation's financial system, I'm not sure we would have believed you. In addition to being an enterprising nun, Felicula Nyiramba Tarimbirwa, along with two other co-founders of Duterembere, was among the first three women parliamentarians in Rwandan history. Early in their parliamentary tenures, while Duterembere was just getting started, the three women felt compelled to take on the issue of bride price, a system whereby men presented three cows to a potential father-in-law in exchange for marrying his daughter. Felicula especially respected the power of tradition, but not as an excuse for reducing women to chattel. The bill to ban the payment of a bride price passed easily, but a backlash erupted. Rural women felt diminished. In their eyes, their economic value had been decimated overnight. Women and men across the country raised their voices in protest, and many parliamentarians blamed the outcry on the rashness of their freshman colleagues. The women parliamentarians had failed to understand the depth of cultural practices in their own nation. They focused on what could be, but neglected to recognize the world that was, including the high-stakes realities of politics. In 1987, just a few days after the bride price fiasco.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?